You're listening to the Spicy Dividend.
Hello, everyone, on this weird Monday. I say weird because we had like flooding this morning in PA, and then now it is just sunny and windy as hell. But today is April 13th, 2020. I hope everyone had a fantastic Easter. I am recording this at 5:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So today, I think markets just came back down to earth a little bit. Nothing spectacular. I think the days of high volatile intraday trading are a little bit beyond us. I mean, I know the market was like pre-market opened up kind of flat and then it did dip pretty significantly, but it recovered to just a 1.3% loss in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The S&P 500 down only 0.9%. So a couple of the holdings in the Dow Jones Industrial were lagging a little bit more than the other ones in the broader index. But, you know, things are, could you say they're returning to normal? Look, there's a lot of talk about, you know, what type of recovery is this? Is this a V? Is it a U? Or is it an L? L essentially means that, like, we're going to be flat for a long time. You're looking at, like, a Japan situation. A U is it's going to recover, but it's going to be flat for a while. And then there's the V crowd, which thinks, well, it's just going to recover pretty much to where we were early February by, you know, like the end of like 3 months. It's going to be really sharp. You're going to have that huge dip, and then it's just going to recover dramatically. Kind of what we had on the Christmas days of 2018, where it just dipped like 10% and it recovered in like 5 days or something ridiculous. That's what you would call it. A V, obviously this one would be a little bit dark, deeper of a V. What do I think? I would go with a really long U. I think we're going to be flat for quite a long time. I could see us, S&P, we're going to go with SPY. It's at 276, the ETF for the S&P 500. Like, I'm thinking it's going to hit like 290 at the end of the year. I think it's going to be really flat. I think we're just going to have a lot of choppy up and down trading. Weeks where we go down, weeks where we go up 1 or 2% at a time. I think it's just going to cancel each other out and it's going to be relatively flat. Just because for the fact we're not going to have that much financial data that's going to be useful to us, okay? Even when we do finally get over all of this quarantine stuff and we can go outside and we can start conducting business as normal, it's going to be really slow. It's going to have to ramp up. And, you know, how many people are going to be interested in going outside right away anyway? I mean, don't forget, you know, a huge majority of this market is individual consumers like you and me buying products and services. It's not about, you know, the businesses buying from each other, whatnot. It's based upon the individual spenders, the shoppers. And if they have low confidence, you know, it's not going to translate to anything this year. Now, next year, that's a different story. We'll see where it goes from there. But from this year, it looks like the Fed and the government has just backed this up way too much for it to be considered going much lower. There's just way too much support from the Feds. Whether you believe it's justified or not, whether they're doing too much or not doing enough, it is what it is. And I think we personally did hit the bottom. We could go a little lower from here. Obviously, I'm not saying we're not going to go anywhere close to the bottom of like 220 range for the S&P 500. But I could easily see 240s, 250s, okay? I don't think we're going to retest lows, but I do think we're going to drop a little bit more. But cases and deaths-wise, we're starting to look okay. It's not positive, but at least we are starting to flatten out. We're not seeing jagged spikes anymore of just increasing exponentially. So look, that's the whole point of all of the social distancing and quarantining. But it's just, we'll see how the rest of the United States handles it. Because, look, I'm on the East Coast, and it's a huge deal here because there's a ton of cases just centralized in the tri-state area that I'm in. So, like, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, you combine us three, and we're probably more than 50% of the cases in the United States. There's a large chunk in California, large chunk on the Pacific Coast, too. But, you know, as it goes inward... Have we kind of killed it off at this point? Or are we going to be at the point where, yes, we're still going to have cases, but the hospitals are going to be fine in Midwestern areas where they haven't experienced such a rush that we have here on the East Coast? look, Pennsylvania has been extremely, extremely conservative with this stuff. And Governor Wolf shut down a lot of stuff early on. And we're still getting a decent amount of new cases every single day. So it's a little flat, but it's definitely not, you know, a dramatic decrease. So if you want to go upside down V, where it's just like, oh, it spikes and it ultimately goes down to zero, you know, kind of what China faked it. That's not going to happen in the United States. It's just not going to happen. We're testing way too many people. The cases aren't just going to fall off a cliff like they did in China. It didn't even happen probably, but you know, it is what it is. But before I go on, let me just give a huge shout out to Amazon today. So Amazon, let me just pull it up. So I want to make sure I get the right percentage. Amazon today is up 6.1%. It is doing phenomenal. It is essentially at its 52-week high. In this environment, Amazon is at pretty much its 52-week high. Impressive. I mean, it's just a company that through all of this crap is just getting a surge in demand. And it's incredible. You know, you want to hold quality stocks. And that's, you know, it's so easy to say, and it gets oversaid so many times. But at the end of the day, that's all you have to do. Just buy blue chip companies, right? It's been said over and over and over again. If that's all I'm always fighting. If that's all you have to bring to the table, then you don't need to tell anyone that. But, you know, if your risk tolerance is low, then just invest in these or invest in the broader index. Just bet on the U.S. or bet on international markets. That's all you have to do. We get so caught up in all of this analysis and deep diving of individual positions. But if you have a lower risk tolerance, it's really not necessary. You can either just buy individual blue chips or you just buy broader indexes. People just like to analyze stuff and they get paralysis by analysis. So the thing I want to just bring up today is, like, what is your risk tolerance? So are you dying during this time? Are you really struggling with all the volatility that happened this past 2 months? Because, look, obviously this is a huge outlier, and it's just one of those things that caused a tremendous fall in a short amount of time. But I always bring this theoretical example up. So if you were to invest in a Magic Bank account that could offer you 4% interest, and your capital cannot depreciate at all. So you just get 4% interest and your capital does not depreciate at all. Would you do that, or would you invest in the stock market and try your chances there? So, you know, historically, you're going to blow that 4% account out of the water, right? Because theoretically, you get 8% annualized returns. If you go in the market, just going back from a long history of the stock market in the S&P 500 broader index versus just getting 4% for the bank account. But if your risk tolerance is so low, then something like the bank account is for you. And, you know, I asked myself this question a ton of times, and I found myself flip-flopping a ton of times. And then as I kept investing in the market, I realized, you know what, my risk tolerance actually isn't what I thought it was. So I took like the huge gamble on the the options trade, and I talked about this 100 times. But if you're new, if you're just listening the first time, it's just like, look, I did a really dumb options play on Berkshire Hathaway's earnings calls, end up losing 10K, took out 30K in my 51,000 portfolio and just put it away in my wife and I's mutual fund. And then I lost a couple in speculative plays after that. And then it is where it is today. Got down to like 3,000. I boosted it to 6,000 today, but I boosted it to 6,000. And, you know, yeah, I made a decent amount of money on Penn, betting it when it was really low. But at the end of the day, I don't like doing that. I don't. I realize my tolerance really isn't that good. Because, yeah, I know I'm a degenerate gambler at heart, but when it comes to these investments, you know, that's just a stupid move. For me, a degen gambler is saying that. Because, look, when I go to a casino and I take $300, it's like, yeah. It's like, you know, it's stupid. But it's like, for me, if I lose that $300 in a matter of 10 seconds or whatever, it's like, I don't care. Because it's the entertainment value. It's fun. But in terms of investing, it's just stupid. It's not entertaining, and you're just doing it for the will of greed. There's no reason to do it. So I ask myself this question over and over, and I flip-flop, and I'm finally hard set on just, look, my risk tolerance isn't as high as I think it is. So I'm just investing in blue chips, investing in broader indexes, investing for covered calls, but they're in positions that I just want to base the entire portfolio around, and I just want really quality companies with a lot of diversification. And I don't want to have to, you know, really dig into too much details and research. And I think a lot of people understand this mentality. It's like, look, it's like, yeah, I like talking about the stock market and stuff, but there are days when I just like, I just don't care. And today was one of them. Like, I was doing a lot of my work, and then in between breaks at working from home, I was playing a lot of online poker. And it's like, I looked at the market maybe like twice today. I put on CNBC Business during my lunch break when I was eating some pasta, playing some poker. But, you know, it's like at the end of the day, I wasn't like hell bent on like, oh my God, what's happening in the market? What's happening in the market? And, you know, if you have individual positions, it's a little more concerning. You got to watch it a little bit more. But if you have just broader index and sector ETFs, you know, you can ease off the gas a little. You don't have to do as much research. You don't have to worry about it as much. And it's just if you're well diversified, and I'm trying to get more diversified than I've ever been in the past, because I would never in a million years consider silver or gold in my portfolio. But that's where I'm going, silver and gold. And then I have 99% of the global market cap in VXUS, Vanguard's International ETF. So look, a ton of diversification. I've even considered dabbling in Bitcoin. Now, I highly, highly doubt I'm going to do it, but I have considered it just for diversification. Diversification's sake. I wouldn't buy too much of it, but, you know, I'm getting to the point where it's just like, I just want to put my $30 a day minimum in and invest it in either the broader indexes or one of my other commodities and just be done with it. I don't want to have to worry about it. I feel like with individual positions, you're going to have to worry about it. It comes down to risk tolerance as well. And it's like, if you hold individual companies and you can't deal with something losing 20% in 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, having a super bad earnings report, you know, it's just not for you. And that's fine. People have different risk tolerances for different... It's all about where you are at your life, what age you are, how much money you're putting in, how much could you afford to lose in the market. I see a lot of people that say like, oh, you know, whatever you put in the stock market, you should be willing to lose. And that's a load of shit. Okay. That is the biggest horseshit I've ever heard. Anyone who says that is just an idiot. Okay. Because at that point it is gambling. You're telling me that if I bet on the US index, you know, the most capitalist country in the world, that's considered a gamble. That's idiotic. And the government and the Fed is looking at it the same way. There's a reason they're propping up the market. And there's a reason that they care about the market more than individual people, pretty much. It's just because, look, it matters. And it matters to pretty much everyone in the United States. And there's polls that say, like, millennials, oh, I don't really, you know, I don't even focus on the stock market that much. It's either because they're ignorant, they don't know, or they're just idiots. And they don't realize how much it affects their world, because if they don't invest early, they're going to be punished later on by not going heavy into their 401ks when they retire down the road, especially considering a lot of people my age have a boatload of debt. I'm lucky that I don't have any, but there's, you know, that's just a common theme. People, and even when people do tell you how much debt they have, they're usually hiding a good amount, or they don't include like student loans, or they don't include the mortgage or whatever it may be. A lot of people just understate how much they have. So just a little talk about risk. You know, what would you take? Would you take the 4% interest bank account and your capital can't go down at all? Or would you invest in the market? What is your risk tolerance? Let me know in the comments if you're listening on YouTube. And thank you so much if you're following me on any podcast platform that you are. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoy. You can reach out to me at Twitter @DegenDividends, DEGEN Dividends. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Monday night.